KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, June 5th, 2026. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kunithchish, hawa, tuxknusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, we have some live music with Ashley Young and Quentin Woolman Morgan. The Juno Symphony previews its Hollywood Pops concert this weekend. We have a preview of a Community Park Day celebration for an upgrade to a park, the Skater Park, that will include pickleball courts, a dog use area, day use, and more. And registration is also open for the AK Experience Camp, Haynes 2026, Alaskan Outdoor Skills, Traditional Practices, and Southeast Fair. We'll find out how you can get involved. Those conversations are all coming up next on this hour of Juno Afternoon.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear, including Gruden's deck boots and flip-flops, and extra tough boots for both men and women. Located at the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha ani kak, gunil chish.
And now live from the red carpet stage here in Studio 2K on KTOO, it's Ashley Young and Quentin Woolman Morgan. Take it away!
Waking up to the morning storm, out and bustling, running my head, round and rustling, stern in my bed, in my bed. Headache and heartache and lovesick clouds, belly of thunder, my mind's a fog, heart's a blunder, heart's a blunder. Open up the dripping window pane, hearing the storming, pouring rain,
pouring rain.
Sky sweeping, releasing all my pain. The stone of sun tomorrow, sun tomorrow.
Will there be another storm?
Sun tomorrow.
Will there be another storm?
Walk down the empty street, see the places, yes, we used to meet. Walking under a flock of birds, hearing the echo of your words. you're gone again, feeling sad in sorrow. Will there be another storm of love tomorrow? So long, sorrow.
Yeah, that's the way to get into a Friday, I think. That is Quentin Woolman Morgan and Ashley Young. And that song is called Morning Storm, and I think that is from, I don't think this, I know this. It's from a project that is the brainchild of our special guest host that's been here with us all week, Rochelle Smallwood. Gunnith Cheese for being in here today again. Rochelle, how are you?
Goodness, geez, I'm doing great. Oh, beautiful job, you two. I'm their biggest fan. I can't believe that they're on this project. The title of our collective is People of the Tides, and the album we're working on is On the Boat, and it's very much a collaborative effort, and it's about the revitalization of the Tlingit language. And it follows my grandmother's life as she was raised on the boat, hearing the Tlingit language, and in a lifetime how she transitioned to English, and now she's learning Tlingit later in life, and just how in a lifetime the language can return, and so much beauty and positivity can resurface. And I think there's a lot of stories that are circled around our pain, and I just wanted to share some Indigenous joy with the world.
So that is awesome, and I love this idea of a collective coming together to make work, especially on the story that you're telling. So just quickly, tell me a little bit how it's working in terms of, like, you, from what I understand, I think you told me this, you've written the lyrics, most of it, and then you have these wonderful, unbelievably talented musicians that are working with you to create music. But the project, it's called On the Boat, right? And it's going to be music and video. And so tell me how you got these two involved over here.
Actually, the first song that I wrote was this song with Quentin after an open mic, and there was a morning storm, quite literally, and they were describing it, and we wrote the lyrics, and then he had gotten a boat, and I was like, we need to go on your boat this summer. And my friend Noah was like, all right, let's write an album called On the Boat, and then I applied for a grant, and it came together with, like, that concept with my grandmother's story, and it blended together, and then I roped in Ashley, and we I was like, good girl, I know a song for you.
There was no collision. So I can't help but be involved in your creative endeavors. This girl is so fiercely creative. I just want to be a part of it. The studio time in Sitka is like one of the most memorable life experiences I've ever had.
That was a good time.
Wow, that's really cool. So, and you all are, so you're creating the music. You've already done a few of these songs. We previewed the recorded version of this, I think, yesterday, but it was so awesome to hear it live because then you can kind of like play off each other and jam a little bit. And there's a couple other songs. We'll play another recorded one here in a minute, but the idea of working in this way collaboratively, I know you all have bands and you have your own musicians that you're working with, but what's it like to work with you know, somebody like Rochelle, who may not be into music but is an artist. And so how does that collaboration work for you all? Is there something surprising about it?
Everything surprising about it. It's, you know, it's way more fun to be working with someone who has the vision and is saying, I don't exactly know how this works and I don't really care. Mm. Like, here, try this. So there was, and we would do some, you know, kind of like, we won't take this or keep this take, you know, just go crazy. Mm. And then we'd chop it up and we keep the like good nuggets out of that. And like so much goodness comes out of just the free form, just try it and let's just see what feels good. She's very led by the positive energy, and it's so different than being in a studio on a strict timeline and we have a plan and we're sticking to it, you know.
Right,
it feels
right.
So organic, and it feels like really positive for the intention of the project.
That's really cool. And Quentin, you live here in Juneau. Mm-hmm. Ashley, you're up in Anchorage.
Yeah.
And I know you both have projects that you're working on now. Ashley, the other day when you were in here with Lily, we talked about you have an album coming mm-hmm. out, which is going to be maybe in the fall sometime.
Yeah.
And where can people follow you in the meantime?
On my website, Ashley Young Music, or on socials, it's Ashley Daydreaming.
Ashley Daydreaming. And of course, you are also, you played that concert yesterday for
yeah.
Lily, but then you're going to be down at the Crystal tonight with Quentin.
Right.
As well as Nina Edwards.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be rocking out around, what is it, 9 o'clock tonight?
Yep, 9 o'clock at the Crystal.
9 o'clock at the Crystal. That's going to be so cool. And Quentin, where do people follow you at, or where can we find? What's your? Do you have something coming out soon, right?
Or
are you working on stuff?
I'm working on stuff currently. Yeah, I'm like in the process of writing new music and hoping to hit a recording studio soon.
I love
but
that.
But I've been dedicating a lot of my time to Steady Going. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Your other band that mm-hmm. you've got going on now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so where can we follow Steady Going and or you?
They're on Facebook and Instagram, and so am I, under my full name, and Steady Going.
Okay.
They're Steady Going AK.
That's awesome. And Rochelle, we had Jennifer Younger in here yesterday. That event kicks off this afternoon, which you're all going to be going to here in a few minutes to go to it. It is First Friday in Juneau, as well as the continuation of celebration happening all the way through till tomorrow. And so, Rochelle, this project On the Boat, well, first of all, Gunnath Cheesh for being here this week and helping out with all these interviews and having this great content on the air. It was so wonderful to have you in the studio this week. And learning about all these cool projects. I can't wait to see Jennifer's work down there on HIT, which is 219 Franklin Street. It starts today for First Friday. Go check it out. That show will be up for, I think, through the summer, right? And you have photos in there. And so where do we follow you so that when On the Boat gets closer to completion and release, we can learn more about it?
Well, I recently turned my Instagram to private, but it's clinkit.witch, and then my, photography, videography is Raven's Tale Studio, and, but you can request to follow me, and I'll see. vibe check, you guys.
Vibe check.
Studio, everyone can.
Well, maybe you need a new Instagram for On the Boat project.
I actually do have that, but it has zero followers, and I think it's Yawk Yicked, which is the Clinkit version of On the Boat. So you guys could be some of the firsts.
There you go, be the first followers. So catch the Jennifer Younger exhibit down there at On Hit opening today. Catch Ashley, Quentin, and Nina tonight at the Crystal at 9 o'clock. Get out there, support Celebration as well this weekend. The dance group's Toddler Regalia is tomorrow, which is the cutest thing ever always. So that's going to be really fun. So thank you, Rochelle, Gunnath Cheesh, for being here, and Gunnath Cheesh to you both for being here as well. I want to thank you. Yeah, I want to listen to one more song as we transition here. This is from the same project, On the Boat, and this one is called Sky World. This is also a song that Ashley and Quentin worked on with Rochelle. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Thank you.
child. You are never alone.
Dear child.
Deep inside, every spirit that has flown, we are by your side. No, you are never alone.
You are never alone.
You'll take care of your home, even after you're gone. You'll leave traces of memory, paths of
song.
Hold your heart, know your strength, so hold on.
Hold on.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. In the studio with me now, Brad Hogarth and Charlotte Truitt from the Juno Symphony. The Hollywood Pops is on tap this weekend for their concerts that they're going to be happening June 6th at 7:30 p.m. and June 7th at 3 p.m. at the JDHS Ciudad Catalá Auditorium. Hollywood Pops, a night of adventure. So let's find out all about it. Gunathchish Wasiti. How are you today, Charlotte?
Great. How are you?
Excellent. And Brad, awesome. Welcome in. Gunathchish.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you all back. So a night of adventure. What do we have in store, Brad?
Absolutely. So we've got a lot of your favorite movie themes.
I saw this list and I was like, whoa, they're just really going for it.
Yeah, we don't hold back with the Juno Symphony. So there might be a few that are less familiar to folks, but we are starting out, we're giving you all of your favorites. So Star Wars, Harry Potter, Beauty and the Beast, the theme from Up. We've got Captain Marvel. And then we've got some nostalgic classics. We've got Moon River. And we've also got, for those that are into some older films, The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Ooh.
The score by Korngold. It is classic. It's fun. We've got sort of the adventurous theme of him and his merry men, as well as the love theme.
Theme.
Absolutely. It is just juicy and beautiful and lovely.
I love that. Okay. So, and this is something that I feel like the Pops thing came about with symphonies? I mean, I feel like it's been around at least since the 90s, maybe even before that. But now it's become like almost an annual tradition. How did it become so for you, Charlotte, and the symphony?
Well, I think the symphony has been doing Pops concerts for at least 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real desire to get people exposed to symphonic music, and it's a great way for people who may not normally come to the symphony to give it a try and come and hear things they're familiar with, and just enhances their comfort level, and it's entertaining for all of us.
You know, it's so interesting, too, because I think, like, you know, back in the day when a lot of the composers that symphony would normally do would be around, Beethoven and Mozart and all those guys we've heard of, there weren't movies to score at the time, right? And it feels like somebody like a John Williams, let's say, who does Star Wars famously and stuff, seems like if he hadn't had film, he would have been doing symphonies and orchestras and things like that. Do you agree with me, Brad?
Absolutely, yeah. I think he would have found, you know, his sound outside of the films. But I think that collaboration between, you know, the director and the scenes and the emotion behind the scenes is really crucial. These composers, especially John Williams and all these, you know, he's able to distill the emotion and the action on screen and really, you know, draw from this rich history that we have in the orchestral repertoire of those great pieces that really sort of synthesize those emotions. And then just they write it in such a way that it just gives the maximum impact for the music. So it's just so exciting or heartfelt or heartbreaking or adventurous or things like that.
It's a little manipulative. Because somehow the music, I mean, I cry at the drop of a hat anyway, but like the music and movies can really just like get you, you know, right at your heart, especially if there's a moment happening and then the theme comes in or something like, you know, I was thinking about it when you were talking about for the Star Wars, you're going to be doing a Star Wars suite, right? You're going to be playing a bunch of stuff, thinking about the throne room song. And that's like such a thing from my childhood of having that big throne room and then Chewbacca, you know, rawr, at the right time during the song and like the marching of the song. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. The Star Wars suite is really fantastic. We've got the main theme. We've got Princess Leia. We've got Yoda. We've got the throne room and end titles. It's fantastic.
Do you have like is it the soft Yoda when he's first showing up at the thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dagobah, right? Is that what it is? Yeah, that's so fun. And then I think also not just people like John Williams, but then you're making me think of people like the guy from Oingo Boingo who ended up becoming...
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman is a composer. And Stuart Copeland, right, from The Police started scoring movies.
Absolutely.
And so like a lot of musicians who were like rockers, in a sense, also transitioned to this. So what do you think it is about orchestral music that draws people to want to do that as a thing?
Absolutely. And you named some great ones. Another one, Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead.
He's
written a lot of incredible scores. We're not doing any of his stuff this weekend. But I think the draw for symphony orchestras and what we have with the Juno Symphony is you have such a large range of colors of instruments, right? So we've got every, you know, size of string instrument from violins to double basses. We've got a full woodwinds with flutes and clarinets and bassoons. And, you know, we've got all the trumpets and trombones and, I mean, so much percussion on stage that we almost don't even fit on the stage, but everything from that to piano and harp and just there is an endless combination of colors that come from this, you know, orchestra. So, I mean, there's going to be 66 of us on stage, all making sound at the same time. And it's, I think for composers and anyone looking to, you know, sort of make music, there's just an endless possibility just within this orchestra. And then a lot of the composers that you're talking about add extra elements, whether it be like electronic elements or instruments that are not usually in the orchestra and things like that. So it's, and you can draw on so many different styles of music, right? So you can have what you call like the standard Western classical style, but you can also, you know, we can play a good like jazz band rock beat. We can, you know, we can do all the things in the orchestra. So it's a flexible, artistic medium, and I think composers just love writing for it.
Maybe that could be, instead of Hollywood pops, maybe it's rock and roll pops. And you get all these guys who are from these bands and creating all this cool music, and then you can even throw in a couple of their their well-known stuff too, which is kind of cool.
Well, this is a good symphony planning meeting happening right now. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about that because I was going to ask Charlotte, like, we got to be thinking about, are we making an announcement this weekend about what's coming up next year, or when do you have your season announcement?
Well, we've been giving a little bit of information out to folks. We'll continue to do this. We've been teasing a little, and that'll be forthcoming. So, yeah, there'll be some really exciting announcements. Brad has a great season lined up for us next year.
So awesome.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, that's cool. And that'll kick off usually in the fall sometime, right?
Right. Our first concert of the fall is the first weekend in October.
Okay.
And so for our season ticket holders that are returning, they'll be seeing the materials in the mail like in July and August.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. And it's interesting because you said there's going to be like, what, 66 of you on the stage, you said?
Yeah.
And I have been on that stage. There's not a lot of backstage area there. Like, there's not, once you get behind the curtain, like, there's nothing, there's not a lot of, there's wall.
We are cozy. We're quite cozy on there. Yep.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be so fun. And Charlotte, how do we get information and tickets and all that stuff?
For more information and tickets, folks can go to junosymphony.org, and you can get tickets for yourself online. If you aren't able to do that between now and the concert, we do have tickets available at the door. And then on Sunday, we're offering a pay-as-you-can, especially for families. Mm-hmm. We're encouraging families to come, bring the kids. They can dress up in their favorite character if they want.
I was just going to ask about dressing up.
Yeah, dress up, come
Potter,
and have a great
Star
time.
Star Wars. Like, I mean, it's Captain Marvel you're doing something.
Yeah.
You're doing Captain Marvel.
I imagine we'll see some Princess Belle here, you know. There's all kinds of options.
You're even doing the Magnificent Seven, so we could have some Western hats and stuff.
Oh,
you could just really get into the theme of it all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Western hats, welcome. All costumes, welcome.
You don't show video at the same time, do you? Have you ever done
that? Not on
that?
This one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do that. In this one, we just wanted the music to really speak for itself and sort of have that just transport people just without the film. But we do like using film sometimes as well.
Yeah, it's so cool. Our Juno Symphony, it's right here in our little town. It's amazing. All these musicians coming together to create this. And this is a program. This is a big program.
It's big.
It's a big program, and it's a great way to get the family out, like Charlotte said, on a pay-as-you-can on a Sunday at Symphony, being able to be accessible to everyone. And I think you probably still have, like, volunteer opportunities and stuff, too, once in a while, right?
We always have volunteer opportunities, so they can also reach us at info@junosymphony.org if they're interested in volunteering.
Awesome. That's so great. Did I miss anything? Are we good?
That sounds great. We just want folks to come out and enjoy it.
Yeah,
we have another special feature.
Oh, we have a special feature.
One other feature.
One more. It's like Steve, right? Steve Jobs. One more thing.
One more thing.
Yeah.
We do have one of the things we do every year is a youth solo competition.
Oh.
And so we're featuring Saheed, who's playing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. So you're going to hear, you know, a really talented young student playing a very difficult piece.
What?
So that's an added bonus.
Yeah. That is so cool. So wait, Saheed won a youth competition?
Yeah, we have this youth solo competition just with the Juno Symphony, and we had a lot of applicants this year, and we were able to, Saheed will be featured on stage, and then actually one of our runners-up will be performing in the lobby at intermission.
Oh,
and we did this in April, so we've been featuring a lot of youth this season, and it's something we feel very passionately about with Juno Symphony, so I'm so glad we can continue it, and Saheed sounds fantastic, so that's just another reason to come out and check out the concert.
A bonus. Brad Hogarth and Charlotte Truitt from the Juno Symphony. It's Hollywood Pops this weekend, June 6th. That's Saturday from 7:30 p.m. And then on Sunday at 3 p.m., which is a pay-as-you-can over there at the Juno Douglas High School Yeda'akathle Auditorium. Charlotte, Brad, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakalat Florence Marks Shakley, and the word this week is geesh.
Geesh.
That means bull kelp. And here's a sentence. It's good to go out fishing at the edge of the bull kelp. Let's hear it again.
Geesh.
Bull kelp. Gunas cheese to Chanae Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukunidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and I have a bevy of folks in here in the studio for this next segment. We're going to be talking about the Pipeline Skater Park, but also just the park overall, because there's a giant plan in place for the Jackie Renninger Park to upgrade. So in the house right now, I have Chris Myrtle, who's a landscape architect with Corvus Design. Gunath Chish Wasiati, how are you today, Chris?
Hello, doing great, Boston. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. I have Mark Wheeler in here from the CBJ Parks and Rec. He's the, are you the executive director? Is that what they call
it? I'm the director.
The director, okay.
Wass away.
Nice to see you, Gunath Chish, for being here. And then we have two awesome guests who are in the house today. We have Brandon Turner, who's a pro skater, mental health coach, founder of Westside Recovery, specializing in personalized treatment for addiction and co-occurring mental health issues, and is here to do a bunch of things. There's going to be a special workshop tonight with the Zach Gordon Youth Center, and then tomorrow they're going to be out there at the park. We'll get into all the details of this, but they're going to be doing some little people get to ride and hang out and do some stuff, right? Welcome in, Brandon. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm good. And you?
I'm pretty good. I'm happy it's Friday. We're in the middle of celebration. And then I have also Canton Russell here. Hi, Canton. Gunath Chish?
Yep. Good to see you all.
And as we were walking in, Canton says, wow, there's a lot going on in this town this week. And that is true. Celebration is in full swing over there at Centennial Hall as well as all around town. The Indigenous Sciences Building's got workshops going all day tomorrow and today and stuff. You can do all kinds of stuff. So this park is a five-acre site. So, Mark, tell us a little bit first about this park as it stands now and then how you got Chris involved. And then, of course, we know Canton's, like, doing major things with this park now. But tell me a little bit about this project and how it got started.
A little before my time, but yeah. We've been planning for this area for several years now. A large part of it because it's an underserved part of our community in terms of parks. Mm-hmm. But it also houses the Pipeline Skate Park. That's what most people know about the park. And it was built, you know, was it 20 years ago?
Yeah, late 90s, late volunteers. 90s.
And it's seen better days, and it's time to improve it. And style of skating, which these guys will talk about, has changed. But we want to really develop the whole park, really open up the area for improved safety. We want to bring more light into the park, bring more families into the park. So we have a whole plan that we've developed, which includes pickleball courts, which includes a new skate park, our first covered playground. It's a big vision, but we know it's going to be great. There's been a little talk about, oh, how can we afford something like this now with our budget situation? But this is a plan. And then to build it, we're going to have to go back to the voters and have their support in terms of a bond measure or a sales tax or something. So we're still in the planning phase, but we hope the public will support it when it's time.
And this is tomorrow. It's going to be Saturday, June 6th from noon to 5. And it's going to be basically, as Mark said, a chance to review the park design, give your feedback. There's, like Mark said, a pickleball courts, improving the skate park, playgrounds, day use areas, a looped fitness trail, all kinds of ideas. So, Chris, you got involved first from Corvus Design to sort of begin like the master plan. And then Canton, who is essentially a retired skater, but I did watch some of your videos, you've fallen off of things, which was kind of fun. But you started Canton working in professional design of parks. And so, Chris, tell me how you started this project out and then brought in Canton here.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we started about 4 years ago on a master planning. And it was really a public driven process. We knew the skate park needed to be replaced. And just through talking to the community, figure out what else are the needs for a park in the Lower Mendenhall. Like Mark said, it's an underserved area. So pickleball came up, dog park came up, new playground, covered playground. So everything that's in the park really came from the public in terms of their desires. And then, of course, when we looked at and evaluated what currently is being served and realized that there definitely are some deficiencies. The great thing, as Mark said, is that it really creates a family destination. So this becomes a community park. The neighborhood is underserved, but it's really going to become a community park because it's going to draw people in from all over the community with the covered playground, with the skate park, with the dog park, and all that. So we started design several years ago, and we had Canton involved with New Line Skate Parks, who was helping us out and giving us some guidance on master planning. And we had public meetings. It was during COVID, so most of them were remote, but we made it through. And then when the master plan was approved a little over a year ago, we were then asked to start on design. So we're at 35% design. It's not just us, P&D engineers, and there's a whole slew of local people that are involved on the design and engineering team. But Canton's been a really important part, and the great thing, he's a landscape architect and a skater, so that's a great combination. I don't get a chance to hang out with too many landscape architects. So he's helping us out with the skate park design element, and then Corvus Design is dealing with all the other park elements. But Northwind is designing the restrooms. We've got P&D developing all the site work and the covered skate park area. So it's really a collaborative effort. But yeah, the big effort starts tomorrow at noon, and we're looking for public engagement to celebrate the design. And then, of course, we've got these two exceptional skaters here, and this is something we've been promising the community for years and years, to get these guys here and have some fun with them and also do some design refinement with them.
And I want to mention that, Canton, you have been doing skater park design for like 20 years, is that right?
So, yep, about 20 years, yep.
And what is different now from, you know, I think people understand that, you know, I'm not a skater, never have been, but I do understand like the ramp and people jumping up the ramp and seeing some of those ex-sports videos from the day.
Yeah.
But also then, you know, you see the kids jumping off of like the things on the stairs, the handrails and stuff
That.
That's a big part of it. So when you're designing a park, what goes into that? Like, are you taking all of those elements from where skaters would be and putting them into one area? And then, so let's start there in terms of how you're getting to the design.
I mean, yeah, growing up skateboarding and traveling around and skateboarding with Brandon here, we just realized coming out here we've been skateboarding together for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that we're still traveling and meeting new people and going to new places, but... Yeah, ultimately, when we were skateboarding in the early 90s, all the skate parks were closed. Now we didn't have public safe places to go. So, yeah, we skated in the streets and we're kind of, you know, jumping around on different plazas and grinding on ledges. And, you know, it wasn't legally sanctioned to do any of that. So, you know, half our career was running from the police. And, you know, so the whole issue was, if you don't have a skate park, your city becomes a skate park. And so how do we bring some of those things that we all grew up skating on and bringing it into a place where they can skate legally, and also creating a variety of opportunities that we didn't have in the street. So not only bringing in the stairs and the banks and the railings, but even some of the kind of like backyard swimming pool type of experiences, all the things that we couldn't do or didn't have access to. So that's really what it is bringing all these authentic places that we grew up skateboarding in a place that actually can do it, and it's actually constructed well. You know, a lot of the ways that the old skate parks were constructed weren't that great.
Has the materials changed over the years?
I think it's the way that the concrete mix designs are designed to be more resilient, to be smooth troweled, where it's not like a regular city sidewalk. Mm-hmm. It has a nice finish to it. In a way, it's thinking about, you know, what kind of tolerances and expectations do you have for a tennis court? Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't allow like a lot of cracks or lifting or, you know, really weird dilapidated materials. So I think knowing that skateboarding wheels are measured in millimeters kind of tells you a little bit of everything about what kind of, you know, experience that is expected to be riding around on something that's fairly smooth, but it's going to hold up to the wear and tear of, you know, the tricks and people doing things. And like you said, I was known for jumping down big stairs, and you know, there's always those times where you're not making it, and you're falling on the ground, your board's falling on the ground. Yeah, yeah. So you got to be able to handle the impact of the people and the boards.
Absolutely.
And so, Brandon, are you still skating professionally, or have you made the transition to more of a coach and mentor at this point?
Yes, I'm still skateboarding professionally.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I'm a coach and a mentor, so.
Yeah, so all of that. That's
yeah,
kind of cool.
Absolutely.
So tomorrow, can you tell me a little bit about, besides this all going on, there's going to be a free barbecue. There's free food, which always is a good draw.
Well, that's what we're here to really talk about. I'm here to, you know, mentor on the recipes coming from.
Yeah, make sure Mark's got his stuff going on over here for the barbecue. Yeah,
I'm just here for the recipes, you know.
Yeah.
I am the recipe.
You are the recipe. So what's going to be happening tomorrow? You're going to be allowing some people, you're going to teach some people some tricks tomorrow, or what's going on?
You know what? With skateboarding, we're just going to show up and do what we do best and, you know, bring community and bring the skateboarding vibe and go skate around and not – it's not going to be a demo type of thing. I mean, if people want to sit and watch, that's cool, but they want to participate. But skateboarding is about relationships, and no matter what you do, if you skate or you just skate or you're just there to – observe is all good, so, and we'll take it from there. And that's what's so cool about skateboarding, art, design, barbecue, food, recipes, mentorships. We all come from different parts of life, and one way or another through skateboarding we all can connect through something and have something in common.
Well, it matches my theme of Juno, which is community, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're really and it sounds like the design for the upgrades is to really sort of, as Chris was saying, to make it more of a community space and provide different options, not just a skater park, but there's going to be some pickleball courts and there's going to be some other places that kids can play and things like that, a dog park. So it's really going to be something of an upgrade for the whole community.
Yeah, and that's really the focus of tomorrow. Is the first 2 hours is a community picnic barbecue where we can look at the designs for the skate park and the overall park. So we want the whole community to come to at least the first 2 hours and provide information on the park design itself.
Yeah.
And then at 2 o'clock then we're focusing more on a lot of the skating. So they're doing some intro workshop sessions. So if you're new to skating and you want to try, we'll have some loaner boards and helmets. If you just want to ride with these guys, we've got a session where you can ride with them. And then we're doing a best trick competition. We're going to have a scavenger hunt during the first 2 hours, free barbecue. We've got prizes to give away. I think we've got a skateboard to give away, some pickleball. Yeah. So, you know, it's all about community, just like you're saying.
And I just want to say, aside from community being first to the mothers and fathers out there with design and everything in skateboarding is safety first. So just if you're new to skateboarding or just getting back into it, you know, you can come and ask questions about that. And with these designs and mentorship and cooking, whether you're barbecuing or grilling or whatever, safety comes first. So
I think Brandon's making me hungry is what's really happening here.
So about the sauce.
And Canton, do you still hop on the boards?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I still ride. I mean, a lot of our time is spent actually designing and creating spaces for everybody, but we still get to ride and enjoy. And like Brandon said, it's a social opportunity to connect. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as long as you keep going and you still ride, it's easier to keep it going. But when you stop and you kind of stop moving, that's when your body really falls apart. So it's good to keep it moving with something. You know, it's good to be, I mean, that's what kind of Chris does, right? Is creating recreational opportunities for people to get outside, be healthy, get off their phones. That's really what it's about. And to be able to do that with each other and the next generation, just kind of passing the baton. I'm not jumping down 20 stairs anymore. maybe 8 to 10 still. If Brandon's around, I usually step it up a little bit more because I got to keep up with him and the rest of the guys. Yeah. But it does. It kind of keeps it fun and interesting, and it's good that we can still stay in the trenches with the people that we're working with and designing for, you know, understanding what the current trends are and listening to them about, hey, we just ultimately at the end of the day want to have fun. So create a space for us to have fun. It's not about the most extreme layout. A lot of the parks that we saw coming up 20 years ago was trying to go as big as possible. Now people are like, oh, we got to actually remember to have fun and keep skateboarding fun and keep bike fun for the kids and for families who show up now. I mean, you know, I'm in my early 50s and I have kids, and now I even have a grandbaby. So it's like, you know, he's at 2 months old already standing up on his first board.
Whoa.
Believe it or not, you know, shout out to little Maverick. But his name says it all. But I mean,
it's all about safety.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's like, how
Ken's leading by example.
Yeah. How can we bring them and expose them to something cool that they can experience with people that, you know, that they may never even know through skateboarding. They can meet people they've never even met before, which is cool.
All you need is a board.
And not just a board, but as Brandon said, you need some elbow pads, maybe a helmet, you know, especially
recipes.
If you're starting out, right?
Me being out here and seeing how you guys live in the wilderness out here and jumping in water and bears walking around, I think pads and elbow pads are going to be the last thing. I think you guys might be a little bit more braver than, you know, some city boys and gals.
Brandon was talking about bears quite a bit. We jumped off the plane, and sure enough, we saw a bear in about 30 minutes right off the side of the road.
Well, welcome to Juneau.
That's
it's great
right.
to have you both here. This is tomorrow. It's Community Park Day at Jackie Renning Park. Is it Renninger?
Renninger, yeah.
Renninger Park. And it's going to be from noon to 5. Noon to 2 is the barbecue and getting to know each other and looking at the overall design potential for the park. And the future of that park. And then after that, there's going to be some boarding with Canton and Brendan. And they'll have some borrower boards.
My name is Brandon.
What did I say? Did I say Brandon?
It's okay.
Brandon.
You know, come through and get some food.
There's some giveaways. I mean, we are working with local businesses. We got the skate shops out there.
Absolutely.
I don't know if we can even shout those out on
absolutely.
The radio. But
quickly. Yeah, please.
Yep. So we got support from Borderline. Sequence.
Shout out Borderline.
Yeah. Sequence Board Shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Landscape Structures, who is a playground manufacturer, threw in some money. My firm also donated some money. Then P&D Engineers, who's also on the design team, also donated some money to make this a bigger event than what it was originally planned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot. The community's come together.
We got posters. I brought some New Line Skate Parks gear with us. Whatever we can do to make it exciting for the families showing up.
Cool. Yeah. And, of course, you can find out more by going to cbjparks.org, I believe.
Yeah, and we're at cbjparks.
CBJ Parks on all the socials.
All the socials.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And I was just also going to plug that these guys are going to be at Zach Gordon tonight at 5.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned the workshop. Yeah, tonight at 5.
So that would be great for any of the youth that hangs out or wants to come down to Zach Gordon.
Come chill at Zach Gordon tonight. Come get a slice of pie.
That's right. And they're going to talk about healthy lifestyles and, you know, really get the kids focused and get them excited.
All right. Good cheese for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. As the climate warms, many areas are experiencing more rain and flooding. And Jennifer Glenister, owner of New Morning Farm in central Pennsylvania, is feeling the consequences of extreme and unpredictable weather firsthand. At her farm, she grows organic fruits, vegetables, and herbs to sell at farmers markets.
Everything from arugula to zucchini.
Glenister says in the past, low-lying areas in her farm flooded regularly in the winter, when vegetables were not growing. So she could prevent erosion by planting cover crops that hold soil in place with their roots. But now, she says floods sometimes hit during the early growing season and destroy young vegetable plants.
That's hard.
But she says losing soil to erosion is worse.
I can plant another crop. I can't replace the soil.
So to adapt to the changing climate, Glenister is now growing fewer crops in her low-lying fields. Instead, she's asking neighbors on higher ground to grow crops that she can buy and resell at farmers markets. She's determined to persevere.
It won't be the way it was. It won't be the way it is now. But I think within our community of farms, we can continue to grow food and serve our customers.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. We're also streaming on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm Boston Christopher. AK Experience Camp is a residential 4-H camp based in Haines. It's happening from July 20th through the 24th. The camp is at the Echo Ranch facility across from Rainbow Glacier. 7th through 12th grade who want to do outdoor camp activities, plus help out and enjoy the Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines, are really encouraged to apply. And registration is now open. And here to tell us more about the AK Experience Camp is Darren Snyder. Gonna cheese wasiti. How are you today, Darren?
Doing good, Boston. Thank you so much for having me here.
So this camp has been going on for a while, right?
Yeah, quite a few years. Yeah. My first was in 2010.
2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've probably seen kids who've come through every year, maybe.
Yes, indeed. I see them around town. They are now young adults, and yeah. And my daughter, who's in her 30s, is one of them, and yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So tell me, I teased it a little bit there, but tell me a little bit about what it is. So people can sign up from wherever here in Southeast, and they travel to Haines for like an overnight camp?
Yeah, so that's this iteration of it.
Okay.
And so there have been many. When I started this work back in 2008, there was already a 4-H camp going on that was being held at the Methodist camp for a number of years. And so when I came on, we just started doing it our way, and with a lot of focus on outdoor skills, partnering with various organizations, Department of Fish and Game for many years to kick off. And so over these last few years, I've been partnering with folks within our Native community and organizations, really integrating a lot of traditional Tlingit perspectives and stories and such. This year, we have the opportunity to do what we did actually back in 2018 and 19, just before COVID, where we brought this camp, these kids, up to Haines and dovetail it at the same week as the Haines Fair. And it's a beautiful location up there at the previously called the Rainbow Glacier Camp, but it is just gorgeous, and we're able to just have a many different activities, you know, just kind of what you think of summer camp, a lot of swimming, a lot of water activities, fishing. We keep a lot of our outdoor skills focused opportunities for survival skills, shelter building, some of those kind of just fun things for Alaskans to learn. We do some firearm safety opportunities to shoot rifles. We do air rifles out there. And then by having the fair, which 4-H traditionally was actually a major part of the whole county fair system within and continues to be throughout the United States, well, our participation has not been that prolific over the last few years. And so this is a way for us to kind of get 4-H back into the fair in a way. And in fact, the people of Haines have just started the Chilkat Valley 4-H Club and are really making a good push for there in the Haines area to actually have more of a 4-H Club presence. So between our camp and this coming July, going and then that club, we're gonna have a lot of activity out there at the fair.
And I mentioned this is for 7th through 12th graders. And so how many people are available? How many slots are available?
About 25.
25. Yeah. Okay. So yep. You got to get in there quick if registration's open now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's okay. So now the firing gun for the start has started. So make sure to get on there and get your kids in there if this is something that you think would work well with them.
And it's bit.ly/AK experience, AK capitalized, because with the bit.ly links, you have to be caps correct.
Yes.
So it's bit.ly/AK capitals, A capital A capital K experience. And it does cost money,
yep.
But I'm assuming that you might. Do you have like scholarships and stuff too available, or
Very little this year? I'm sorry to say.
Oh, sad.
Funding is tight, and some of our previous partners don't have some of the funding streams that they've helped with, and I don't have any designated funding. All of my funding with 4-H is through tuition. I don't have actual. They don't give me money to work with, and so this is all self-funded, and then. We've had just beautiful partners over the years. The Douglas Indian Association has been a wonderful partner over the years, and Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the Juneau Tlingit Haida Community Council, and they've really been supportive over the years for our various camps. So we do have a little bit. You know, we are actually planning, literally, sadly, going in the hole a little bit this year. But I have a little bit of a nest egg to be able to, you know. Bring some staff in and all that kind of stuff. So,
I mean, it's still pretty affordable. $500, which includes the ferry rides, or $400 for youth who are already in Haines.
Yep.
I guess my other question for you in terms of this is experience. Do people have to have experience having been outdoors already, or is this something that they can just jump into? And
oh yeah, this is total jump in opportunity. And in fact, you know, if you read some of what we've got as a descriptor. In the camp, it's very much a kind of a choose your own adventure and what we like to call challenge by choice, where you know kids are finding out what they're interested in. That's what I really love about camp is that it's an opportunity for kids to learn new things, try out new things, but still do it in a safe and comfortable space. And I really feel like. I pride myself in our camp and the staff that we have to be very inclusive and very supportive because undoubtedly there's going to be, you know, some nervous feelings and all that kind of stuff. But we really that's why I do this is to support the growth of our youth.
Challenge by choice. That's a great name for it. Choosing your own adventure, too, is kind of cool.
Yeah, right? I didn't make either one of them up, but I like it.
They both sound good. And if you want more information about this, what's the best way? Is it to email you?
Yeah, emailing me is great. Darren@Snyder, SNYDER, @alaska.edu. That's Darren.Snyder@alaska.edu or 907-523-7734.
Excellent. Yeah. And you can also go to that bit.ly/AKEXPERIENCE. Mm-hmm. This is the AK Experience Camp. It's a residential 4-H camp. This year going to be based in Haines from July 20th to the 24th. Darren Snyder, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Gunnith Cheesh.
Come to camp.
Come to camp. It's camp time. That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Make sure you get out there and enjoy a celebration happening for the rest of the weekend through Saturday, which is very cool. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbay 91.7. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, and our live stream archives are on KTO's YouTube page. Theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Gunnith Cheesh. Have a fantastic weekend.